So I'm not. The one thing I'm unsure about is I'm not sure. The shiur is on a Monday night, so I wasn't sure whether you go after the last week's Sedra or this coming Sedra. If I should do on Vayetzi or Vayishlach. So I wasn't exactly sure how to do it. So I decided we will Baruch Hashem for Bereishis, and say for Bereishis everything is very, very connected. So I was able to do a little Vayetzi, Vayishlach, even Vayeshev, just in case next week's shiur doesn't work out well. That there's a sugya in Parshas Vayetzi, it starts off that Rachel steals the truffim. Now, the English word for truffim, in if you look up in your art school, is teruffim. So teruffim is not exactly does not really have a proper translation, but we know from Rashi that it speaks about Avodah Zarah. It's interesting that the Torah calls it teruffim and doesn't call it by what it was, by Avodas Galilim or Avodah Zarah, gives it the name of Truffim, whatever type of gotchkas type of utensils it was, which is a very, very big yesod in all of Torah and Nevi'im and Ksuvim, is that they never dress up the Avos Imos and all the different Kedoshim. They're always, if a person just looks at the story, then Rachel just stole these, just Rachel went into somebody else's house and just stole something rather unimportant. It's almost like she went and she just stole some, a glass of soda from the person. It doesn't make Rachel look so good. Now we know that it was Avodah Zarah, so it's a little bit better. But in all of Tanakh, it's a very big. Rav Yigamil says actually, it's a tremendous testimony to the truths of our Torah. And what we assume is that it never ever dresses things up, whether it was David and Bathsheba, or Shlomo HaMelech and the Avodah Zarahs, or on and on and on and on. We never ever dress up. The Gemara says that anyone who said that David Melech sinned is only mistaken. David Melech didn't do a sin. But Alpha Pekin, if a person opens up the Sefer, the Nach, and he looks at the story of David Melech, David comes out looking very, very poorly. And that's the same with Rachel, and it's the same with Shlomo Melech, and the Avodah Zarah, and it goes on and on and on like that. And it's a tremendous testimony to the truth of the Torah of Yimek Suvim. You can't open up any, open up any book of any other religion, whatever it is, you'll never ever find themselves painting themselves like he wasn't a nice guy. You read Josephus on about Titus, what he writes about Titus, it sounds like he sounds like Rabbi Kalish. I mean, he really sounds like a sweetheart of a guy. We know that Titus, he was a tremendous, tremendous, tremendous Rasha. The morale even grapples with how to address Titus because he has to take into account this idea that Josephus is painting him as such a wonderful human being. Now, Josephus had his life at stake. I can't imagine that Titus would have let him live too long if he would have said, this guy was a jerk. But Alpha Pekin, he has to grapple with exactly what is the deal with this person. But that's in any scripture of any other religion, of any other nation, they'll never find themselves painting themselves at anything less than perfect. And that's not the same with us. Now Rachel, she goes and she steals these truffim. Now the different Chazal explain what these truffim were. They were Avodah Zarah. Now you can imagine Lavan probably had a couple of Avodah Zarahs, but she wanted to steal these truffim. These truffim were a specific type of Avodah Zarah that she wanted to steal. The Zohar says that the truffim were actually things of Lavan was very into magic, and these truffim had the amazing ability. He would be able to ask the Truffim anything he wants, and the Truffim would be able to let him know. What's the future? The Truffim would be able to let him know. This Truffim was a gypsy technique in telling the future. It was the powers were endless for the Truffim for this love in Harasha. And it was Dafka, these Avodah Zarahs, that Rachel made it her business and was Moser Nefesh to go in and steal the Truffim. And that needs an explanation. And it goes as follows.
It's
soon that we could even see now for that the Chazal says that b'schus Rachel stealing the Avodah Zarah, stealing the Truffim, then Hashem promises the Klai so that eventually all of Avodah Zarah is going to be abolished in the world. So it's a tremendous, tremendous chus she has. Now it came with an unfortunate incident that Yaakov Avinu gave her that klala, but Afal Pekin the Mesiras Nefesh was astounding. Now, we know as Jews that we have to live this world in a mavado. We live, the person gets up in the morning, has no idea what's going to be in the future. speak to any person getting married, they have no idea. They're constantly nervous about everything. And afal pikin, we have to go on vayit, and we have to say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will take care of us. You could say that we just really live in like this black hell, not knowing exactly what will be whatsoever. Rabbis machshavos bleivish. We plan, and we're supposed to plan. But lemaisa, we're in a dark cloud. Lavan could not live like that. Lavan and Rasha, to live like that means that you're subjugating yourself somewhat to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They wanted to say, you know something, I'm in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's arms over here. Lavan couldn't live like that. Lavan had to live in a way he couldn't react to his life. He had to lead his own life. Couldn't subjugate himself to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He had to be in charge of what was going on. And therefore, Lavan and Rasha, it's the same. A person goes to, we do things, we plan. A person goes to college and he wants to make a panasa. So he goes to college, he wants to make a panasa. He's giving a heichat tims how HaKadosh Baruch Hu could send him his panasa. But if a person thinks for one second that he's relying on this to give him his parnasa, and now relying on HaKadosh Baruch Hu, our mahalach is that we do certain things so that eventually maybe there could be a shliach as to where HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to send his parnasa. But not chas v'shalom that we say that this is what's going to bring it to us. Lav and Harasha had to live his life saying that he was in control of his own destiny. And therefore these trafim were not just any avodah zarah. They were his whole shita sachayim. They were his whole mahalach in life. His whole mahalach in life was that he would not be willing to subjugate himself to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He had to lead his own life. And therefore these trafim were not just any avodah zarah, they were an absolute necessity to what he wanted to accomplish. And therefore Rachel, who was maisa nefesh, to try to save her father's household, from this absolute destruction, she went in, and this is why it's such a tremendous chus, she went in to try to steal, to try to take out this whole shita zachayim, this krim shita, that was affecting her entire family and her entire household, Adei Doris, to try to save the Doris of her father.
Quick question, sorry. Like you're saying, Lavan, it was his whole purpose was whatever, the Avodah Zarah, right? I mean, he was believing it, well. That's not different than anybody else that's doing Avodah Zarah. And they usually believe in what they're doing, and they put all their faith in there.
It happens to be that we'll get sidetracked for just a second because it's a good question. Is that Be'etzim, what Avodah Zarah is just a way. Be'etzim what Avodah Zarah is just a way of saying that he's not that he doesn't want to have to listen to God's rules. He doesn't want to have to listen to God's Torah. That's why it says that the Avodah Zarah of the Baal in Parshas Balak was the most geshmak. The Gemara says the most geshmak Avodah Zarah in the world. The people did this Avodah Zarah, they went crazy from it. Now, if anybody knows what the Avodah Zarah of the Baal was, it's the most. It seemingly has no hanan whatsoever. They were basically he would go to the bathroom on the Baal, yeah. So what the question is, B'chai Shalat tries to say, what exactly is so geshmak about this Avodah Zarah? Like what? The answer is that if a person is a Yid, then he knows that he's connected and he's constantly guided by a Kaddish Baruch Hu. Wakes up in the morning, he's got to worry about Zman Kriyat Shema. Goes to sleep now, can't talk after Hamapil. Every single thing, he's constantly, our lives are very, very ruled by Baruch Hashem, a Kaddish Baruch Hu. Avodah Zarah is saying that I do not want to have these rules. And therefore, even Christianity has rules. Christianity has rules. They can't eat pig. They can't do whatever rules they are. Even Arabs. Arabs have a lot of rules. All other religions have rules. But the Avodah Zarah, the reason why it was so geshmak for the Avodah Zarah of the Baal, was that it was saying that I can even do this. I don't have to subjugate myself. I can even do this. I could just be an absolute animal. And that was the taiva of the Baal. Love and slightly differently, but also obviously all Avodah Zarah is very, very connected. Is that Lavan was befrat? Avodah Zarah is a very, very big thing, and it's all obviously related. But Lavan befrat could not handle this. Was his whole thing? This is his way of like he was challenging HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Like I'm not just gonna run my whole life. I'm not subject to my rules. But you think you're gonna tell me when I'm gonna get married? You think you're gonna tell me how I'm gonna make this next buck? You think you're gonna tell me what's gonna happen with my son? You think I'm gonna take care of? I have my trachim. I've got my trachim. So Rachel goes ahead and she risks mamash meisa nefesh to go ahead and steal these Avodah Zarah. Amazing.
Somewhat ineffective. Like if somebody's like a drug addict and you take away their drugs, right? They didn't do anything. They're still addicted to the drugs. So what did she think she was going to accomplish by taking it if you just get another?
Did it come along with words and discussion?
There are two things. First of all, let's use your analogy, right? If just to use your analogy, if a person's on drugs, the first thing is you get them away from them. Then at least then
them up in a room.
Right, then, but then we have something to talk about. In other words, calls the mind that it's with him, there's nothing to talk about. The first thing is obviously no matter what happens, whether she's planning on giving love in a powerful musa shmuz afterwards, or whether these truffles were hard to come by, or whatever the case is, the bottom line is at least she just, you know, tried to get him away from him for a couple of minutes. Maybe give him a chance to think about something, to just get it away for a second. So that's the first thing, like it just makes sense that like the first thing you want to do is like if I see let's say Baruch Hashem, not in this yeshiva. Blessed we found a DVD player, right? A guy can go back and get a DVD player, but the first thing is want to get away from him. Then we can talk at least. So it's similar here. In any case, so and this why that's why Rachel Aminu's children were b'miyuchad. They were very very special. That says about Yosef Asher Agever Asher Shem Hashem Mevatcho. That fortunate is the person that has trust in Hashem. Rachel Imenu was fighting for betachin. That's what she was. Her war path here was about having absolute betachin HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's why you see in Yosef, Atzadik, this tremendous mitzvah betachin. The same as with Binyamin. Yedid Hashem Yishkon Levekta Chayfef Alav Kol Hayom. He was Yedid Hashem. He had absolute deveikas on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What we have here is an amazing, amazing medrash. Medrash tells us, Mordechai lo yichrav lo yishtachaveh. Mordechai did not bow down to Haman. Haman says to Mordechai, what are you doing? We see that your father's, Hari Mitzino Avasecha, Sheshtachu Lavasa, we see that your father, Yaakov, you bow down to Esav, it says, Vayishtachu Arza Sheva Paman. Why can't you bow down to me? This is what Mordechai says back. Just a very cryptic medrash. Amalei, Binyamin, my father was in my mother's stomach. And he didn't bow down. At that point, Binyamin wasn't born yet. And I am from Sheva Binyamin. We say Mordechai is called Ish Yemini. Ish Yemini means from that he was from Sheva Binyamin. Binyamin Yemini. So he says, My father, you're right that Yaakov might have bowed down to Esav, but I wasn't born yet. Had I been born, that wouldn't have happened. What is going on here? This is an amazing, amazing marriage. We have a rule in this world. We spoke about Ein Oy Mavadal, the way we have to live our life. But Aval Pekin, and that is a tremendous Kiddush Hashem. When a person lives his life like that, he's constantly being Mekadosh Shein Shemayim. Constantly being Mekadosh Shein Shemayim. But there are some times that we are Mitzvah from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that it's key like we have to cause a Chilat Hashem in the world. It's an amazing thing where sometimes the Gemara says when you see a king in this world, that he's having a lot of successful wars, don't go to war with him. Don't go to war with him. Because there's sometimes you have to be Machni yourself to Rasha. Even though you're supposed to always have betachin, with the story of Hanukkah, 12 people got up. Imagine that, 12 people got up and fought the most powerful nation in the world. It's crazy. Imagine we take Kona Yeshiva and say, listen, there's a problem that's a sort right now, let's get me, you, and you. Get 12 people, let's go. It's Mishra Gass. Story of Hanukkah, 12 people had absolute betachin HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But after speaking, sometimes the Gemara says, we have a halacha, brought down the Rambam. Sometimes you're not allowed to do that. Sometimes you can't fight with them. Sometimes a Jew is mechuyev, you have to bow down, you have to be machni yourself to a rasha. Now, we learn by the churban, the briyonim were not allowed to fight against titus. Now's not the time. It's a tremendous chil Hashem that titus is about to destroy the base of mitzvah, but now's not the time. Hakadosh Baruch Hu is being sayser his whole. It's almost like Hashem is giving you permission. To Michal's name, to Michal Shem Shemayim. Now that's all for us, for all of Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael has to live like that. But there are Anshei Segula, Yichidei Anshei Segula, they cannot live. It's not in their, they don't have the ability to live with anything less than absolute betachin. They cannot even for one second live with anything less than full betachin. And that was Binyamin. That was Binyamin. Binyamin's mida was that he pashut could not even for one second live with anything less than full betachin. And therefore, Haman says to Mordechai, "Vayishtachu arza sheva pamim." What do you mean I'm the boss here? Haman tells to Mordechai, "I'm the boss. You got to bow down to me. Don't you know that the Yaakov had to bow down to Esav? Esav was the king. Esav was ruling the world. Don't you know that happened? And don't you know that you have to do the same thing to me?" Mordechai says, "No. Wait a second. My father was Binyamin." And Ashkocha had it that he shouldn't be born yet. Because had he been born yet, he would not have an ability, he would know how. He was bound to Russia, Betachim. And he's saying, Mordechai was saying, my father is Binyamin. The same way Binyamin did not have the ability to do it then, I can't do it now. It's not in my ability. That Pasha cannot bow down to you. That's what Mordechai was saying. This Midah, and you see this tremendous Midah of Yedid Hashem, Yishkain Levetach, that he's called Yadid Hashem. He's called the Yadid is Yad Yad. Yadid is Yad Yad. It means that Binyamin walked hand in hand with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Chayv v'lov kol yom, without stop. He was constantly boteach on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He could not live with anything less. And that was the midah that caused HaKadosh Baruch Hu to eventually put the Beis HaMikdash in Binyamin's portion, because when HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to rest the Shechina, put the bais that the Shechina is going to rest on in a part of Klal Yisrael, he picked Binyamin because Binyamin was inseparable from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Binyamin and HaKadosh Baruch Hu were inseparable even for 1 second. Just want to get to this next point just to clarify better. Binyamin and HaKadosh Baruch Hu inseparable. And this is why, with this, we can see another tremendous, tremendous medrash. When Binyamin steals the cup from Yosef, who at that point wasn't Yosef, he was the second in command, some people say. He was the most powerful person in Mitzrayim. Yosef goes ahead, Binyamin goes ahead and steals this cup. The Medrash says, they were standing and they beat Binyamin on his shoulders. They beat him. The Amalo, they screamed at him. They said to him, Ganva Barod Ganvasa, you Ganav the son of a Ganav. The other Shvatim, when they saw the other cup, the other Shvatim were beating Binyamin on the shoulders. And they said, Ganav ben Ganav, you Ganav, the son of a Ganav. And they hit him, and what does it say? The Bedr says, because of those makas that Binyamin received from the Shvatim, he was zaycha to eventually have the Shechina being safav. Shenemar, chayv v'lav kol yom, u'being safav yishachem. Between the shoulders, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that between the shoulders I will rest. And we'll see this later, that's referring to Binyamin. That's because they gave him Malkus, being safav. They gave him Malkus, they gave the brother Malkus, being safav. Now the Shvatim giving you Malkus, it means that you had it wasn't that they got into a fight with their brother and they gave him Malkus. They felt he had to do something, they're serious. They gave Binyamin Malkus, and because he was makabel this Malkus, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'm going to rest on you. Choyf v'lov kol yom, u'beng seifav yishachin, I'm going to put the Beis HaMikdash there. What is the hesber in this tremendous medrash? The answer is, according to the line that we just said, at this point in time, Yosef Paro is the leader of the world. And we're talking where the Shvatim had to flee from hunger to go to Mitzrayim. This is an example of a time when HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives you permission, you have to machni yourself to Rasha. And we abuse this. You know, sometimes we have to, this idea that we have to be machni ourselves, sometimes the person who's in a higher thing, so it's dafka in certain times. That doesn't, you know, it's funny, like Rav Vigdimel used to go crazy about the people that we honor at our dinners, all in name of the fact that we have to, this is the gullus, and this is what. Rav Vigdimel didn't accept any position as Rashi, any position that would ever cause him to compromise his resolve against the people he screamed at, against the liberals and so on and so forth. He would never ever want to be put in a position where he had to, he was the most unpolitical figure. He was unpolitical, but Baruch Hashem, he was to be able to be a shalom constantly. He never ever had to fight the Yitzhara of, if I can get this money or this or that, and the constant demands of Yitzharas that are around different organizations because of what they have to do. Baruch Hashem. But this is a quintessential example of a time where Yosef is the leader of the world, and they say to him, you know, you gotta be machlir yourself. And they hear that Binyamin steals this cup. And they think, also, why isn't he acting with Achna to this Yosef? Doesn't he understand? And he say to himself, oh my gosh, this is Binyamin, the son of Rachel, who did the guys into that first mess. It's that same Ida again. She refuses the same way Rachel refused to back down from Lavan. This is again, we have again his son, Binyamin. And they felt that it's Aser. You have to machni yourself to, sometimes in a time period of such tremendous trials and tribulations, where the entire world is a hunger, the only place is in Mitzrayim. How could you? That's not against Betachim. Sometimes the Kodesh Baruch Hu says, you have to do this. And they went and they gave him Malkus. Bank Seifav. Why Bank Seifav? Because Binyamin's Hoshita was, Yedid Hashem. You have to be hand in hand with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And where do the hands meet? The hands meet in the shoulders. And that's why they gave him Malkus in the shoulders, saying, you have to break that up. You can't do that. Sometimes you can't walk hand in hand. Sometimes Hashem says you have to be machni yourself. So they gave him Malkus, Bank Seifav, exactly where the Yad meets. And Binyamin sucked the Medrash. Because he was able to be soivel as Malkus, and he kept quiet, and he did not be machni his sheet, he did not back down from his shita. Even though the Maisi didn't steal the silver cup. But because since the whole reason they were fighting against them was because of the Shita, which he held dear to him, he held was Emes, and he felt he couldn't back down from it. Since Binyamin did that, he kept quiet, and that's why Kodesh Baruch Hu says, the same way you got those Malkus, because defending my honor, defending that highest level of Betachin, which only you were Zeichet to, and only and the Yedid Hashem, Chayv V'lov Kol Yom, so too I'm going to pit the Beis HaMikdash, Bein Seifav Yishachin. See how tremendous how spiritual the Medrash is, half of the fell. It's a beautiful, beautiful Medrash. Besides that, you see how dear the Indian of Mamash Bitachin, the person is being Boitech and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, how dear it is to Hashem when people constantly call out to Him and constantly are secured with Him. And it's a tremendous, tremendous, it's Mamash Nesayin just figuring out what Bitachin is. You hear this idea, Machni yourself, Ishtadlis, all sorts of different things going to what exactly is Bitachin. You know, it's like the Chavis Lubavitch says a very interesting line in Shai B'Tachan. He says that you're supposed to be Boitech and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, like an Eved is Boitech his master. Like, that's an interesting mashal. And then we see, and I was once talking to Rabbi Kalish, and Rabbi Kalish asked me, he said, what does it mean? It says, we see in the Rosh Hashanah, we said, you have to treat im kavadim rachamino ka'av albanim, v'im kavadim. Because what's the avodim in the master? I understand. Ben Tanav, Hashem, have rachmanas, you are tata. But what's an evit to the adon? What is that? So I showed him this chavis levavis. Pshat is that when the relationship from adon to a master is that there's no chance. I'm not getting food without my master giving it to me. I have nothing without my master giving it to me. And that's the same way we have to feel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Without Hashem, there's nothing. We, a lot of times, I joke around with my wife. We always like, we sit there, we plan something. This is our level of betachin. We plan something, and then you're going back and forth in the plan, but what happens if this happens? You answer, no, then I'll do this. If this happens, I'll do that. And then they ask like a very anxious, but what happens if this happens? You say, wait a second, can I have a betachin? So like a betachin is almost like a last resort just to put you to sleep at night. We say, no, come on. And I'm saying, literally, a little bit of betachin you have to have. Betachin says, forget all those questions. Betachin, betachin says, you have to, that's what, it's coming from my Kadosh Baruch Hu. Like an Eved to an Adon. That's all there is. Not this, that, wait, betachin. Then there's also the opposite. You know, some people never catch shrines that you know, that you have these people that they have, you know, never things happen and just throw on their bombs and walk over to the guy, what's going on here? And I just throw. No, you have to have betachin. That's not betachin. You're not, you don't want to bother yourself with feeling bad for Klal Yisrael, so you say betachin. That just means you don't want to think about it. We human beings have tremendous ability to just not think. That's it, you don't think about it. You don't think about it. Betachin doesn't say that. Betachin says you have to think. You have to think. You have to be concerned. You have to think. But afal pikin, you have to feel that there's a shtickle, that there's a betachin. The Mezrashem HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Betachin doesn't mean that you shouldn't have feeling. You should become an android. It's just, it's very, very hard thing. Bechlal, defining what betachin is. But betachin HaKadosh Baruch Hu is, and Hashem is tainus on us, and he demands from us betachin. It's a tremendous possibility. Yishlach Yaakov malachim lefanecha. And Yaakov went and he sent malachim to Esav. The Mezrash says, and absolutely, you read this Mezrash, you go crazy. The Medrash says, what is the mashal daima to what Yaakov is right now doing with the malachim? This is what the Medrash says. What is the mashal that Yaakov is doing to the malachim now? You go over to a dog. You pull it on its ears. And then it attacks you. That's what Rav Huna says. The next man number says, no, that's not the mashal. The mashal is like this. That there's a place where all these ganavim are. And you walk over to the ganav. And you say, hey, there's ganavim around here. You got to be careful. So he gets up and he claps you. And he says, wait a second. Did the Ganav just wake up? You're the one that just woke up is the Ganav? So the Ganav says, no, you woke up the Ganav. So he says, that's the same way. That's what Hashem says to Yaakov. What are you sending Malachim to Esav for? Esav didn't do anything. What are you sending Malachim? Why are you waking up the dog? Why are you pulling the dog's ear? Why are you b'chlal having anything to do with him? Why are you awakening the Esav? Why are you awakening the Ganav? This is absolutely, if you read this, you know what's going on here. What does that mean? Esav, he knows for years, he was chased out of his mother's house. He knows Esav wants to kill him. Esav's running around like a hounded dog trying to get to this guy. And to Yaakov, you know. And Yaakov's sitting there like, oh, he woke up the Ganav. What? Esav is his last breath, he wants to kill him. He said, what do you mean? I'm waking up the door. What does that mean? Zogt Alta from the Vardak. It's scary, but it's also very comforting. The Alta from the Vardak says, a betachin tells you that until something happens, it didn't happen. You think that Ace is out to kill you, but he never came to you. So that's it. You betachin Hashem. you heard this, that, doesn't make a difference. Until he came, even if Esav of Russia heard that he's coming, nothing happened yet. We spent so much time worrying about different types of this, and what if this happens, what if that happens. This is what Hashem's mamash, this is a lesson to us. Hashem tells Yaakov, didn't happen yet. That doesn't mean that we can't plan with the nervous energy, the constant nerves, and the constants that we constantly get nervous about it. So it says, you woke up the dog there. You pulled on the dog's ear. And now that Esav was just Mahalach Bedarko, the Alton Nevarim says, Esav was walking his way. Now what's going to happen? What you do is up the Medrash? Now Esav's coming. Now he's coming with 400 of his biggest warriors. Now he's coming. So that's what the Torah tells us on Bitachon. Just a question, yeah?
We learned so much about warfare and how to prepare for our enemies by Yaakov's example. So you're saying basically is we shouldn't have been making all those preparations? We should have said Hashem will take care of me?
First of all, very good question. But there's two separate things. There's lemaisa, what Yaakov was doing because he felt he was preparing for war. You can learn from. But the Torah is telling you, lav dafka, in other words, the way Yaakov prepared for war, that's the way we should prepare for war. But whether bechlal, whether he had to do that at all, Hashem is not sure. But in other words, when a person has to prepare for war, in a case when a person has to prepare for war, this we learn from Yaakov Avinu. That we learn from Yaakov Avinu. But whether Yaakov Avinu was at that point that he had to do that already, that's a separate situation. Hashem tells him, you woke up the dog. But the mice that he did that you have to learn from. Well, here, hidden in the being safe of Yishachin is a phenomenal, phenomenal thing. So that's the first thing. Just the idea of what B'tachin is and the tremendous chizik that it is for us. It's like when the very big mashal is when we were moving to Waterbury. So like a lot of people asking just what you know, on your nervous this, that. So someone said it's a famous mashal that if you have a baby in a mother's holding her baby, so let's say we're going to Israel for Pesach. So we're going to Israel. I'm all nervous about the matzah over there. The baby, he's getting on the plane. He's getting off the plane. He doesn't care. Why? Because the baby's in the mother's hands. That's it. That's what the baby cares about. So the same thing with us. No matter where we're going, whatever, we always have to feel like Pasha, we're not with those hands. This is HaKadosh Baruch Hu is holding us. That's the way it is. That's what B'tachon is. It's just how Hashem is holding us. It's tremendous at 100,000 levels of B'tachon. But that you see how Hashem, Mamash, picked the place where he was going to put the Beis HaMikdash based on this tremendous level of B'tachon. What's amazing about this is that it says that Avraham Avinu, they were looking. They were about to do the Akedah, and they're looking. He says, do you see? Turns to Yishmael. No. Yitzchak and Aram see. And where are they looking at Zakhtar Majesh? They're looking at Haram Moriah. Haram Moriah, where the base of Majesh is going to be. So already you see, Avram Avinu already understood the tremendous Kedusha of this Malkum Haram Moriah. Yitzchak, Vayarach Lakas Sadi, he's in the field. Yitzchak was also with Haram Moriah. Already understood with Avram. Yaakov Avinu says, he slept in a place, and the 12 places turned to one. He says, you know, suddenly now I realize what a tremendous Malkum Kaddish this place is. Zakhtar Medrash, what was this place? And it turned into the one stone. It was the Evan Shasiyah of the Beis HaMikdash. He already knew also this place. He really realized the tremendous Chashivas of this place, Haram Moriah. And they say the Evan Shasiyah is Mamar still there to this day. It's Ari Yomazah. The Evan Shasiyah is there, supposedly in the Dome of the Rock. Over there. Yeah? So I guess they assume they know it is that it's there. But the Maisa, you see that they all the others already knew about this tremendous place, Haram Moriah, and yet they conquer Eretz Yisrael, and everybody's getting their portion of land. Reuven's getting his, Shimon's getting his. Everybody's going on. Yerushalayim means untouched. Nobody goes to conquer Yerushalayim. Yehuda goes for a drop, doesn't spend a lot of armies, nothing. Can you imagine? Here the Avos went crazy over this place, Hamori, which is in Yerushalayim, right? Yerushalayim is not a big place. And when all the Shvatim are dividing what's going on, none of the Shvatim decide to go for Yerushalayim. Why is that? Until David HaMelech comes. David HaMelech was the first one to come and conquer Yerushalayim. Why? Because at that point, the nation of Klal Yisrael wasn't yet mature enough to understand when they first came out of Galus, they first came to Israel, everybody was trying to get what's their own. But Yerushalayim wasn't a place where it's my land. Yerushalayim is a place where it's a makam chibur, where it's a connecting place for all other shvatim to come together to. Yerushalayim is a place of where David HaMelech, when David HaMelech realized that it's time for the nation of Klal Yisrael to reach its next level and to see that everyone needs a place where we can come together and be Oyla Regal and come together and have and everyone should be unified. That's when David HaMelech starts for Yerushalayim. He sees him and Shmuel get together and they see that there's supposed to be this place called the Beis HaMikdash where everyone's supposed to be Oyla Regal. They don't know where it is. And then through a pasuk they realize that it's Yerushalayim. And then David HaMelech was going through, they were searching to figure out a sign how they should know where it's supposed to go. And it says in the pasuk, "Ubein Seifav Yishachin." They knew it was in Sheva Binyamin, from Parashat Zayis Bracha, I think. And then they see in this pasuk, "Ubein Seifav Yishachin." Then they realize that it's supposed to be where exactly Hamri is. Why? Because "Ubein Seifav" is shoulders. "Seifav Yishachin," and the only place in Yerushalayim where the mountain slopes on both sides with Hazesim, and another sign also is Har Moriah. That's where they knew that it was supposed to go. And it says that the Beis HaMikdash stood like a neck. The Har Moriah, the shoulders, and the Beis HaMikdash stood like a neck. And what was the head? The head is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Beis HaMikdash was a connecting, was our connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu from Klal Yisrael below. And what was the schus of that? The schus from that was because that Yerushalayim is a place of unity. And that's why Sinas Chinam, Dafka Sinas Chinam was the thing that took away the Beis HaMikdash away. This is like, Dafka Sinas Chinam was the thing that took the Beis HaMikdash away. But this is a, first of all, we can't say it enough that the Maisa, the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed because of Sinas Chinam, because of period, because of Machlekes, because of Lashon Hara. It's an amazing thing. The Gemara says, everyone knows the Gemara, the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed because of Kamsa and Bar Kamsa. So Marana says, anyone who knows the story knows it wasn't destroyed because of Kamsa Bar Kamsa. Only Kamsa was there. What did Bar Kamsa do? He wasn't there. What do you blame him for? It's like he was an innocent bystander. Okay, he apologizes. You got mixed up with him, but I wasn't there at the place. I went to kick the out. I went to, you know. But yet the Torah says, you know, the Gemara says, destroyed because of Kamsa Bar Kamsa. Why? So Marana says, because it's impossible that there should have been such hatred there from the people to that person, unless everybody was speaking Lashon Hara backwards and forwards. And therefore, you think you're an innocent bystander? You caused it. You all have a hand in it. Everyone has a hand in it. Anyone who speaks Lashon Hara and caused that hatred had a hand in it. And therefore, don't look at it like he was the number one person. He was a little bit on the side. The Beis HaMikdash was destroyed because of Kamsa and Bar Kamsa. The Torah is so filled with all sorts of mitzvahs, al achiv in Biran lo chavero. We always skip it. We sing because it became so many songs that so no one pays attention. We sing Ketzem Arachtum Lifnei Akala. What does it mean, Ketzem Arachtum Lifnei Akala? Ketzem Arachtum Lifnei Akala means how can we dance in front of the Kala in such a way that we can give them as much simcha as possible? That's what Torah is saying. The Torah is saying we want you to give a person on a wedding day as much simcha as possible. That's the chiyuv of Bin al-Chaver. HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the Maizah site that says, I'm willing to erase my name just like you call Shon Bayez Ben Yesh Leishto. When Mechuyif even have Rachmanis on animals. When an animal is threshing, you cannot muzzle them. You have to let, how many of these animal rights people that they don't want to this, and the belt, when they have the animals threshing, you think they don't muzzle them? Of course they muzzle them. What's that animal rights? The Torah tells us what animal rights. Animal rights is that you cannot cause sire to the animal. The amount of being under the amount of compassion that Yidden are supposed to have.
What?
When they pound on the wheat or something to break up the wheat to make it better to eventually pile it up. When an animal's working on a field, you can't put a muzzle on it because it has to be able to eat from the field. But the amount of tremendous, you see a person, you walk in the street and you see a fellow Yid and they're carrying shopping bags. It's not just, oh, you have to do chesed. Tell us, you see a person. Being oil chaver, you have to be misasik, but oil chaver, you have to help a person who's low fell off the donkey. The amount of tremendous, the Torah is filled to the brink with teaching a person how to have absolute compassion for another yet. And chas shalom not. Now this is, you know, this is what I always discuss with my wife, that the fact in a place like we are, where it's a small community, so like the responsibility is more, but the nisayon is also greater also, because it's always fun, like the little things become a big thing in a small community because there's not much else going on or whatever. Everybody gets excited about the little things, but it's a tremendous responsibility. No matter what it is, that everybody's working on different things together. You know, in yeshiva, like if we work on something together, We're always very, very careful. Like, mamash, constant. There had to be, it's a tremendous chus for the yeshiva, the Bli Hanora, and then in 4 years, and all the amount of people that are having what to do, there was never, ever one sichsuch, not one argument whatsoever. It's not just, it's because everybody treats this with tremendous, tremendous respect. There never, ever, 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 ever could be a machlokes. It has to be totally, totally avoided. Totally avoid it. And it's a tremendous sign, whether it's a shir, whether it's an ashay, whether it's this. Everybody has to mamish work on protecting each other's covet at in case. They can't have a shir. Amazing guy. I just read this story last year of this kid that brings this mezuzah, Russian kid brings this mezuzah to the principal and to check it. And the principal opens up and he sees like in a kid's handwriting the Shema Yisrael. So the principal's like, what kind of animal cipher has a chutzpah to sell this little Russian kid who doesn't know the head from the tails? This was, and he says to him, and he's getting all angry, he's ready to go crazy. He says, "Where did you get this?" And the kid says, "You know, we were just learning about mezuzah, and I really can't buy mezuzah, so I figured I would try to write my own." It's like instant. The guy went from this, that, you know, it's like, and these are crazy. The amount of Dalakav Schustos that are endless, but Afal Pik in their own life, we always said, they can't be Dalakav Schustos, this is so obvious. It's never obvious. It's never obvious. For basic comments, it's a great story. He says he was in a wedding hall. And he goes outside the wedding hall and he sees these two horses, and he says, "What's going on?" And he says, "We're bringing in for the group in the middle." And he starts going crazy. He says, "How can you have this? What the kedusha of a wedding? Horses? I'm going out." He goes, "If the fair comes in, I'm coming out." He was going crazy. And then he found that the wedding hall had two wedding halls: the downstairs for guy, the upstairs for yid. Then they were bringing the horses to the guy. So it's like mamish, like the endless amount of, the Torah teaches endless compassion, and that's, it's constant work. It doesn't come there. Rashal Chajan has a story I read in the Sefer. Says he was in an apartment building, so he was learning. His wife comes screaming down the stairs, "Shalom!" screaming, and he's like, "What's happening?" He goes, "There was a lady in the there's a little girl in the building called Mirka. That was her name, your Shalmi name." And she's thinking that she fell down the stairs. So he quickly gets up. And he runs and she's bleeding and this and that. So they pick up Mirka and they start running down the street to the Beit Holim. And they're running. And all of a sudden he spots in the distance this girl's grandmother. And the girl's grandmother finally sees that Rosh Hashanah, he was obviously running. Rosh Hashanah was well known in Chai Chesed. And he's running and he's saying, "Oh, Rosh Shalom!" And she obviously thought that it was, they obviously thought it was one of Rosh Shalom's kids or something. And he says, "Oh, Rosh Shalom! Hashem will help, don't worry about it." Rachel's like, "Oh my gosh, this lady thinks it's seeing what she finds." They're coming closer and closer. And she gets, and all of a sudden the lady sees that it's her granddaughter. She says, "Hamilka Shali!" She starts screaming and going into a panic attack. And Rachel's like, "I don't understand, it was just Lain and Ra, Hashem Yazar. What happened all of a sudden now?" Because the answer is, because when it's something that you really, really care about, you treat it differently. When it's something that you'd really care about, then it's already a different story. It was no longer that it was just Tom, a little girl, Mirka, "Oh, she fell, we'll get a bandit, we'll get a bandit." Now it's already my granddaughter. Now it's already a different situation. That is the way we have to act. And that is the way the Torah is chiyav on every single aspect. On every single aspect of our daily lives, to treat people and to treat everyone with the utmost compassion and respect, and now like chus, and it's endless. It's endless because the amount, and we always like we train ourselves to man dakas. We always train ourselves like it's always, we make fun of like grandmothers and grandfathers, like they, "I'm not going to the wedding. I didn't get an invitation," and we always laugh like, "Shh, you know, relax." You know what I'm saying? But then we don't realize that it's seeping up into ourselves. A lot of times we don't realize we do the same thing. You know, "She didn't call me. She did this, that, that, that. He, this, that, this, that." It's endless. The bottom line is that this is mamash, the Beis HaMikdash, is the neck between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Klai Yisrael. And he always taken away because of sin of Schinim and Lashon Hara and all the different Midas roles that unfortunately creeped into Klai Yisrael that we still suffer from. And the only way, and it can't ever, ever, ever become anything less than scary. The reason, then, the only way to get the Beis HaMikdash back, and that's a separate avodah to want Mashiach. You know, I was at a concert. My wife and I were at a concert with the Shabbos. My uncle had his debut concert, and we decided to go in. And we go into the concert, and everybody's going crazy. And I turned to my wife and I said, "You know something? How many people want Mashiach to come right now? You know, like want Mashiach? Like Shwaki's in the middle of this whole little thing over there. You know, he's singing Shema Yisrael. You know." How many more Mashiach to come right now? Because, you know, we get so lost, and Baruch Hashem, life is gewaldig, but it's a big thing. You know, Mashiach will come right now, they'll be like, can you just wait to the end of the song, please, I beg you, just a little bit, we'll come right away, just give me that last chorus. Right? So we have to, but if we really genuinely, Baruch Hashem, unfortunately, it becomes easier and easier. Mamash, the amount of tzaris that the Baruch Hashem, there's a tremendous amount of simple also. We have to always appreciate the simple. This, I was by in Rishon, and I was about to answer Rabbi Gissinger a question. And this guy goes over to Rabbi Gissinger, and he's telling me about this. I was trying to eavesdrop as much as possible. I was only getting half the story, but this whole situation with this money thing and there are a lot of ganavim. I couldn't get any names. I would share them with you, but I can't. And they were going back and forth about this person and this person and his wife. Unfortunately, we're having a tough time because he was stolen. He lost a lot of money, and different people didn't want to lend him any more money to save him. I couldn't get the whole thing. I could probably make up the rest of the story, but. Afterwards, the guy turned. There were two guys talking to Rabbi Gissinger. That this is a condition of Gissinger. Thank God we have a person like this in the world. He turns to Rabbi Gissinger and he said, "Shh, Rabbi, there's so many tzaras in this world that's not normali." Without blinking an eye, Rabbi Gissinger turns and says, "There's so many people with simcha in this world that's not normali." Like you have to a little bit of the perspective. But after peeking, when you hear a person, when you hear the tremendous amount of tzad that there is in Eretz Yisrael and different things, it becomes a little easier to want Mashiach. It becomes a little easier. A person has to work in an avoida. When they realize that is what we want, then they have to realize how to get it. These two things of Rishon Mechazik especially in our community, you hear these unbelievable stories. How, you know, there's a person in our community who became from because of the fact that he was stuck in a place for Shabbos, and he was so impressed with the way the rabbi was treating him that he became from. Now we only that is a glorious story. So you're always nice if you meet a person that's not from you. Right away you become Prince Charlie. Oh, come to my house. This that. You know, but if it's your friend, all of a sudden it becomes a little easier when you see the big goal that I'm going to get the person from. What happens if you just are so nice to the person? The person says, you know something, I'm also going to be a little bit nicer. That is what we have in this community. That is the opportunity and the achrayus. It's very tremendous achrayus that we have in this place that we're zeicha to, but we also have to treat with a lot of respect. But that lemaisa in our own way, that is something that we can really, really do. That. And to work on our betachin, it's a constant betachin is a constant thing in our lives. These two things, in Metz Hashem, we should be able to build the connector between our Kodesh Baruch Hu and Klai Yisrael again.